Good morning. Today we are going to continue in our series on Galatians grounded in the gospel. And today's passage really has a central theme, and it's the idea of transformation. We really love this idea, the ability or power to become a new or different kind of person. We spend billions of dollars every year on transforming the way we look and feel, gym memberships, plastic surgery, diet fads. I could go on. Deep within every person, I believe there's a sense of dissatisfaction with the way things are and the desire to be different, to be transformed. And transformation is a theme that runs deep within many of the stories that we loved as kids. Remember Superman. Actually, Stephanie and I were on our way to her brother-in-law's house last night, and I told her that Superman was in the sermon this Sunday, and she said, you know, there's a new Superman movie coming out. And I said, I had no idea, since I am culturally clueless, but the Lord was leading me. So here we have Superman this morning, born on the planet Krypton as Kal-El. He was rocketed to Earth just before Krypton's destruction. And he was discovered and raised in the great state of Kansas as Clark Kent by a farmer and his wife. And he began to demonstrate these superhuman abilities at a very young age. Later, as he grew up, he moved to Metropolis and worked as a journalist for the Daily Planet. Here is the Superman debut in Action Comics in 1938. You know, when Superman's services were needed to save humanity, then Clark Kent would transform into Superman and come to the rescue. Remember how Clark Kent was transformed? A phone booth, right? Actually, though, Clark used a variety of places to change identities, but the phone booth was first used in 1942, and it just stuck with people. Here's the 1942 newspaper comic strip. Notice he says, "This definitely isn't the most comfortable place in the world to switch garments, but I've got to change identities, and in a hurry." Now, of course, we want to be gender inclusive this morning. So let's talk about Wonder Woman. Born as Diana of Themyscira, an island nation and home of her sister Amazons, she was gifted with a wide range of superhuman powers and superior combat and battle skills. She also possessed a vast arsenal of weapons, including the Lasso of Truth and a pair of indestructible bracelets, a tiara which serves as a projectile, and even in some stories, she had an invisible airplane. After coming to man's world, she took the alias Diana Prince and worked as an army nurse. Here is the Sensation comic cover debut in 1942. Like Superman, when she was needed, Diana would transform into Wonder Woman. Early on, this transformation occurred as she changed her clothes while running at super speed. Later, the transformation took place when Diana would step into the loop of her magic lasso. But the best was the Linda Carter spinning transformation. We love stories about transformation, about becoming someone new. And that's what our passage today is all about. Let's read from Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 through 24. "For I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel that was proclaimed by me is not of human origin. For I did not receive it from a human source, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. You have heard, no doubt, of my earlier life in Judaism. I was violently persecuting the Church of God and was trying to destroy it. I advanced in Judaism beyond many among my people of the same age, for I was far more zealous for the traditions of my ancestors. But when God, who had set me apart before I was born, and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son to me, so that I might proclaim him among the Gentiles, I did not confer with any human being, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were already apostles before me. But I went away at once into Arabia, and afterwards I returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I did go up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and stayed with him 15 days. But I did not see any other apostle except James, the Lord's brother. In what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia and was still unknown by sight to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard it said, "The one who formerly was persecuting us is now proclaiming the faith he once tried to destroy." And they glorified God because of me. We often ask people in church to share their stories. And that is what Paul is doing here. He's remembering his conversion, his early Christian experience. Why? Why is Paul doing this? Paul is sharing his story because it's his way of refuting the attacks that were made against him by those in Galatia who were perverting the gospel message that he had preached. First, Paul makes it clear through his story that he did not arrive at his gospel message through his own deliberative wisdom or from other Christian leaders. He recounts that prior to his conversion, he was extremely hostile to the church, seeking to destroy it. His previous way of thinking and living was the polar opposite of the gospel message he now preached. Paul also makes it clear that his message was not derived from others like the apostles in Jerusalem. He says, "I did not confer with any human being, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were already apostles before me." Paul is clear about how he received the gospel message he preached in Galatia. "The gospel that was proclaimed by me is not of human origin, for I did not receive it from a human source, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ." This revelation no doubt refers to Paul's Damascus Road experience that his friend Luke describes in Acts chapter 9. Now, the second argument that Paul makes by telling his story is that while he did not learn the gospel from other apostles, they did, however, approve of his message and glorified God because of me. Paul received validation from Cephas, or Peter, and the Lord's brother James, who was the head of the church in Jerusalem. He also was affirmed by the churches surrounding Jerusalem in Judea. So Paul's story combats the claim that some of these Jewish Christians in Galatia were using against the Gentile Christians. They were claiming that Paul's message was just that. It was Paul's message, and not what the church taught in Jerusalem. But Paul's personal story was his rebuttal. "Jesus revealed the message to me, and all of the other apostles approve and give glory to God because of what he has done in my life." But Paul's story doesn't only establish him as an authoritative gospel teacher for the churches in Galatia. It also illustrates something that Paul wrote in his epistle to the Romans. He wrote, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." When Paul uses the term salvation, it does not simply refer to the idea of going to heaven when you die. Now let me explain. For Paul and all of the writers of the New Testament, salvation has three dimensions. First, there is the past dimension, which refers to the idea that we are saved. It's something that has already happened. We are saved by God's grace working through faith. Then second, there is the future dimension. We will be saved, and that is referring to when Jesus returns and brings to completion his eternal kingdom. So you have the past and the future, but then you also have the present dimension. We have been saved, we will be saved, but in the present we are being saved by the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit, who is transforming us from glory to glory into the likeness of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians. So when Paul says that the gospel is the power of God for salvation, he certainly has all of this in mind, which includes the ongoing present power of the gospel to transform our lives. Make no mistake, the gospel is transformational. The good news of God's grace that is given in Jesus, it has power. Power to change and transform people's lives. This is why the famous Anglican pastor John Newton, who once had been a slave trader, wrote, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see." When people receive the good news of Jesus Christ, they receive His amazing grace that sets them free. They are born again. They are filled with the Spirit who transforms them into new people who share in Christ's character of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, as Paul will discuss later in Galatians chapter 5. Sometimes this change, it comes rapidly, and sometimes it comes more slowly. But to be sure, it does come. We see this clearly in Paul's own story. A Pharisee who meticulously he spent his time trying to live by the Jewish law so that his relationship with God could be properly maintained. He was also a violent persecutor of the early church. But after Paul met Christ on the road to Damascus, he was forever changed. No longer did Paul try to keep up his relationship with God by observing the Jewish law, but rather he lived his life by faith in Christ Jesus, who demonstrated his love and grace in the most amazing way by dying for Paul on a cross. And that's what Paul writes in Galatians 2, verse 20. Paul obviously became a preacher of this message, the good news of Jesus Christ, and the most prolific evangelist and planter of new Christian churches the world has ever seen. We owe a third of the New Testament to him directly, and then another significant portion to his disciple Luke, who wrote his gospel and Acts. And we've just scratched the surface, really, as it relates to the transformation that took place in Paul's life. When I look back at my own life, while certainly it's not as dramatic as the Apostle Paul, the transformational power of the gospel was felt immediately in my own life. Up until the time I was in junior high, I have no memory of ever attending church, not Christmas, not Easter, not ever. So I really wasn't antagonistic to faith. I was just completely oblivious and ignorant about Christ. I really did not know anything. I remember one time asking a question that my friend thought had an obvious answer. So he replied, "Is the Pope Catholic?" And I looked at him, I was just confused. And he realized that I had no idea what he was talking about. And so he explained, you know, about the Pope. And then I got mad. I argued with him vehemently. I was offended that only Catholics could be Pope. That's how clueless I was. I really, for the most part, lived my life on a pretty simple terms. And they were this, very simple. That I should do what I want to do. Play sports, hunt and fish, get in trouble, and chase girls. I really did not think about much else. Now, to the extent that I really did think about my future as I got older, my main concern was how could I make a lot of money. After realizing that I was not going to play in the NFL, you know, my plan shifted. It became something like this. I was going to go and get my undergraduate degree in accounting, go to law school, and then probably get into politics. Those people seemed rich and powerful, which sounded good to me. But when he who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me, everything began to change. I believe it was a few weeks before my senior year at Blue Valley High School, the class of 1983, and I was with a large group of friends. We were at the corner of 151st and Metcalf, Jegan's grocery store parking lot. And to be sure, we were up to no good. I won't go into details. But what I did not know, and what no one knew, was that God was actually up to something that was entirely different. He had a different agenda. I don't know any other way to say or explain what happened than to say that the Holy Spirit revealed Jesus to me. I cannot explain how that happened, or I can't even really describe the experience, except to say that it was a very powerful experience, and my reaction to it was just to begin sobbing, which was a very odd thing for me to do, and especially in that context. And my friends were just looking at me perplexed, like, what in the world? And I was basically known as Wildman. I wasn't ever called by my first name. And so people were saying, Wildman, what's wrong with you? And I told them that I didn't know, but I wanted them to leave me alone. And so I got in a car and I just started to sob uncontrollably. And I just had a sense that whatever was happening and that it was God. And so I just said, Lord, if this is you, if this is real, then I want you to take control of my life. And I think for the very first time, I trusted someone other than myself and gave control of my life away, over to Jesus. Now, I really had no idea what had happened, and I certainly could not have imagined at that point the change that was about to take place. School started that year, and I just found myself telling basically everyone that I came in contact with about Jesus. I started Bible studies at school, and we had quite a few people who would come. Interestingly, we had these Bible studies right during school, during the lunch hour, and I had free use of the building, and I know that kind of thing is kind of frowned on today, but God was using me to spread his word that I actually at that point knew very little about. But I started Bible studies, and really people were shocked and amazed at the change that had taken place. And some of them were really not very excited about it because my life was completely different. And to this day, on the rare occasion that I see people from high school, they almost always comment that they're still surprised about what happened to me and the change that occurred in my life and the fact that I'm a pastor. It still seems a bit odd to them. But that's the kind of change that Jesus has made in my life. The entire trajectory of my life changed. And to that I say, thanks be to God for his amazing grace that was given to me in Jesus. I once was lost. I was very lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is very good news indeed. It is such good news, it has power, immense power, to vanquish every enemy and to transform the world. And this power is at work in the world, changing, transforming people's lives. And what is so exciting is that once we've been, you know, swept up in this good news, God then allows us to participate in his work of transformation, so that we get to see and experience God's power at work in people's lives. You know, this is a significant part of what I love about my job. I get to see the transforming power of the gospel at work. So to conclude the message this morning, I want you to hear from people right here at Christ Church in our own community as they share their stories of God's amazing grace, the transforming power of the gospel.
My life before Christ was hopeless, lost.
I can sum it up pretty easy, actually. Like a path unknown.
I kind of felt, I guess, stagnant, maybe is the right word.
Confused, lost. I didn't realize it until after I really started following Christ that it was dark.
I was very much the boss of me.
My social life and my married life were very unhealthy.
My life was a lot more hectic before I came to Christ.
Just kind of flailing around and not have a direction of where I was going.
I had a conscience, but I think I was able to train that conscience to kind of agree with whatever I felt was good and bad.
I think that I would let things get to me more instead of knowing that somebody else is in control and somebody else has a plan for me.
Without God, I was just going about my daily routine and letting anything and everything get in the way of my accomplishments through Him. Once I met my wife, we had some things that we had to work on. I had things I had to work on.
We had some difficult roads in our marriage and definitely some large puddles that we needed to jump over. Well, I had an experience where God was talking to me in a really hard time in my life.
My wife leaving me, that was the low point in my life, and it was really a very painful thing for me.
We came to Alpha and we started learning more about the Bible and getting more involved in the church, and I reprioritized my life.
First, it was a lot of seeds planted along the way, so it was not that I had been presented the gospel previously. I just had to come to a point in my life where God put me in a position and completely broke me down.
I really feel like I found Him and started opening up to Him more through prayer.
I saw Christ first through her. I always thought that I would see Christ through my own spiritual encounter, and I kind of looked for that. And at times I felt kind of jaded that I didn't get that.
This will be my third in a row Alpha course. And each one, it's nice because it's a line of progression.
I felt, well, maybe this loneliness and emptiness that I have in my life I'd find something in the church that might help me, and that was the key.
I had to throw myself at the mercy of Jesus and trust His grace to pull me through.
He did it so special, it means so much more to me now than I think that I would have even gotten it on my own. I have a hard time getting things on my own anyway, I'm a guy. So having my wife bring it to me, it was like God bringing it to me, you know, on the silver platter. Here I am. You got me already, just take me.
Changed our lives, really. I mean, just how we look at life and how our kids look at life, how we interact with our kids.
You can feel happy, but I feel like when you live a Christ-like life, you actually feel joy, which is so much deeper than happiness.
You're certainly not perfect, but you have a compelling force that is able to guide you.
It's pretty neat because there's a lot of people I've became friends with. It's been several months, you know, over since I think September, early September is when I started. I've gotten involved in volunteer groups.
The Lord gave me a lovely Christian lady, and we continue to have many happy years together.
We've just moved here, but I feel like we have this great church that we can connect to here at Christ Church, and I just not only feel his presence with me through prayer and on a day-to-day basis, but I really feel it at church as well.
So now I feel like I want to walk more and be more like Jesus. I am a calmer person. I feel like I have more peace in my life.
Once I really followed and practiced it in my life, it just felt like you're in a dark room and you flip on a switch.
It's been a fundamental change because she is such a great Christian lady, and we are doing all these ministries together, and it really is nice to be able to do something with someone that has the same outlook on life as you do.
I just felt so much more pointed, more on a solid ground.
But it's the life-transforming part of that too is being able to share that with others.
It's just gift beyond gift beyond gift. It's unimaginable because once we really did finally let go and just gave everything to him, and we both genuinely gave our hearts away to him, he's filled that void that you think you're going to lose, and it just flows over. When they say the cup flows over, it flows over constantly.